Very good to see you this morning. Welcome to you all. I'm not Richard. I suppose that's obvious, really, but if you come every week, it's obvious. I'm Jonathan Edwards. I'm one of the members of this church, and it's a privilege to lead you in worship this morning. Richard has got a few days away on holiday with his boys, which is brilliant, and so it's my privilege to lead you. Just a few things of pastoral concern. We'll be praying later, but our friend Beryl Rowney, was admitted to hospital on Thursday evening, now back home, but feeling tired, and we think of Beryl, who's such an important part of our life together. We think of Carl's friend Philippa, who's been very, very unwell, but is making daily changes and some encouraging signs, so we're grateful for that. And we continue as a fellowship to remember Glyn Morgan's family service tomorrow, to give thanks for Glyn's cheery life and the lovely contribution he made to our life together. We think of Glyn's family as we think of Anne Davy and her family as they mourn the passing of her mum. We meet together as family, believing that God loves us and has drawn us to himself. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light is a big theme in our service this morning, and we celebrate that light as we sing together, "Be Thou My Vision."
Okay, please stand.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nor be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou art the storm day, the day and the night. My life. Be Thou my wisdom, be Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true.
We recognize this morning that it is about you, that light that came into the world by choice to pursue us and to restore relationship. And we want to just say again this morning that we choose to look to you. We choose and ask that you would be our vision, Christ of our own heart, whatever befall, still be our vision, our leader, our strength, our rock and our guidance. Thank you that we have this hope, this unshakable foundation in you. Lift our eyes, our souls, our hearts to you this morning, that we may praise you as we are. Amen.
Oh,
Please sit down. Lord God, our Father, we're delighted to be here together this morning to declare just how great you are. We thank you for this past week. We thank you that you have been a great God throughout this week. But at times we've forgotten about you. At times we've been thinking about other things and we've neglected to think about you and your greatness. So specifically and deliberately today, we've set aside time so that we can declare how great you are, to declare our praise. Thank you for bringing us together. And we pray that we may know your blessing as we declare our praise, as we confess our sins, as we pray for others, as we listen to your living word. Lord, thank you for drawing us together. Please bless us, we pray, as we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, so, story box. For one moment, I was wondering where it was. Would you like to come and join me? Because it's very lonely at the front, all alone. I need friends, and I've got lots of friends. Right, hello. Wherever you are, even at the back, however small, no one's too small. Thank God nobody's too tall. Come a little closer. I know it's a bit scary, but... Right, so what we're doing, if you're a visitor, then that's lovely. It's great to see you. What we do is we have a story box, don't we? And in the story box during the summer, there are clues to what happened last week. So I've got to look inside to see. And like Richard last week, I haven't opened it, so I don't know if there's anything there. Ah! And there is. What have we got? So who's going to tell me? Right, who's going to tell me what... do we have a microphone? Is that microphone going to be lively if I... I've got a great big booming voice, but... Is this okay to go? Good. So, what have we got here? Fern, are you going to tell me what that is? What's that?
Animal.
That's a very safe answer. Well done. What kind of animal is that?
It's a cow.
This is a cow. No... What was the...
It's a camel.
So why did we hear about a camel?
Because we need to put our faith in Jesus first.
What a brilliant answer from Keris. Because that, yes, given a clue, because it says put Jesus first. We need to put Jesus first. What have you got there? Let's look at some other things we've got. Oh, yes. Explain to me what that is.
It's meant to be a picture of what we ate last week, and they were...
Okay, so we have biscuits, and at the centre of the biscuit,
there was white icing, was our life.
Yes.
And then whatever colour we wanted, we put Jesus wherever we wanted to show... Well, it was a smarty, but... It was to show Jesus to wherever he is in our life, we would put it on the biscuit.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So this is a biscuit, which you can't eat, representing a biscuit, which had icing. And we put a Smartie to say where Jesus was in our lives. And what we said was the most important thing was that he should be at the center of our lives. And then... Absolutely right. Keris is giving me the commentary. And this is the story which we looked at, which was the story of the rich young ruler. And the story of the rich young ruler, do you remember, what was this man like, Samuel?
He loved his money.
Good one.
Very much.
What else did he love?
He also loved Jesus.
Well, yeah, so there's a bit of confusion in his mind. I think he really did love Jesus. He was interested in Jesus, but he loved his money more, didn't he? And that was a problem because his money was more important. And then Jesus goes on to say to him that he can come and follow Jesus, but he's got to get rid of all of his money first because that was getting in the way. And then Jesus told the story of the camel, and he said, just as a camel cannot get through the eye of a needle, so a rich person with their riches, because of their riches, can't get into the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus is saying is you've just got to trust him. Money is not a bad thing, but if it gets in the way of us following Jesus, then it's very, very bad. And here we've got a lovely picture of the rich young ruler, if you didn't know what he looked like. You now know, so that's great. So all of this was to tell us about how important it is to put Jesus first in our lives, and not to put things like money or anything else in the way that's rightfully his. So that's really important. Okay, yeah. So if you own these, Keris is giving me the whole script. If these are your property, Keris is telling me, please collect them later. Which is very, very good. Thank you for sharing that. Let me just pray for a moment, because we want to say, Lord Jesus, we do want to put you first. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you invite us to follow you. We recognize things can get in the way of that, and we're really sad about that. We pray that you'll teach us what it means to put you first in our lives. Amen. Thank you for coming to join with me. Stay here, if you will, because we're going to sing a song, and it would be lovely to have a choir to sing it. This Little Light of Mine. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so we started this morning with that Bible verse of Jesus' claim of himself that he was the light of the world. So once our eyes have been kind of spiritually open to him, we see that as the light shining in the darkness. And with that, you would then want to live that out and show it to others. So an absolute classic, this song, but a great one. So let's stand and enjoy.
This little light of mine, and I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, and I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, and I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The light that shines is the light of love, lights the darkness from above, shines on me and shines on you. Shows you what the power of love can do. Shine my life on fire and near. Where there's a dark corner in this land, I'm gonna let my little light shine.
This little light.
This little light of mine. And I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Okay, just one more time, this little light.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine.
Thank you very much. Father, we thank you that you have given us money, you've given us resources, and we pray that we may use them wisely. And we make this offering to you as a way of showing you that we love you and we want to serve you. And so we commit to you now this money and the money that we've transferred into the church's accounts by direct transfer, and all the ways in which we give resources to this church. We pray for that money, pray that it be wisely used to build up your kingdom. Amen. Thanks very much. And now the children are going to go to the back for activities which have been planned and which we'll hear about next week. Hope you have a lovely time. Seem eager to go. Anyway. Let me just say a prayer as they go. Lord, we thank you so much for our children. We bless you for every one of them, and we pray that you will touch them and bless them, and that they'll have a great morning today, learning more about you, more about the story that we'll be thinking about here as well. Bless them, we pray, and those who guide them, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I encourage you to enjoy any sounds off. If the children are making noises, just use any sounds you hear as a basis for rejoicing that we've got children. There are many, many churches that have no children in them. Perhaps you want to pray for those churches as you hear the whatever squawks we may hear. They're having a story at first, they're likely to be a bit quieter, but it might get a bit noisier after a while. We're now going to have a time of prayer, and Fiona's kindly going to lead us in our prayers for others.
For this week, that we can say thank you to God for this week. So just turn to the person next to you, just think about what the past week has been like, and if there are things that you'd like to say thank you to God for. Let's just spend a couple of minutes talking to each other. Okay, it's lovely to hear you talking, and it's clear we've got a lot to be thankful for. So let's just pray together. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the amazing gifts that you have given us this week. Thank you that you love and care for each one of us. We are sorry that sometimes we forget to say thank you to you or to other people who give to us generously of their time, love, and gifts. Please help us in the week ahead to shine your love and your light into the dark areas of the world. Lord, I pray especially this week for the people of Hong Kong and ask for patience for those in authority and for a willingness on both sides to listen to each other to find compromise and a peaceful solution. And Lord, I want to lift to you the wife and family of Andrew Harper, the police officer who was so tragically killed on Thursday night whilst on duty. Lord, we cannot imagine the overwhelming grief of his wife, who he only married 4 weeks ago. Please surround her with people who love her and care for her and be with her in her loss. We also pray for those in our congregation who are grieving, especially for the family and friends of Glyn Morgan and Gwen James. And we pray for Anne and Paul Davey in coming to terms with the sudden loss of Anne's mother. Lord, we want to pray too for Beryl, who came out of hospital this week. Lord, we pray for her recovery. Pray that you will strengthen her. And Lord, we pray for Carl's friend Philippa. Just thank you for the progress that she is making and continue to bring healing in her life. And Lord, we lift Richard to you, our minister, and pray that he will have a restful and joyful holiday in the Peak District. And for others that we know in our congregation who are also on holiday, just pray that you will refresh them and help them to have quality time together. And let's just spend a moment just to be quiet and remember the people that we are close to who need our prayers, Lord. And finally, Lord, I want to thank you for our police officers, men and women who do risk their lives to help to keep us safe. We ask that those in authority will have wisdom and power to know how to address the conflict and violence within our communities. And pray that you will help us to be a people of compassion, willing to share your love with others so that we can work to transform our world to be a safer place. So just ask you to join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This morning we've been thinking, hopefully, the idea of the centrality of Jesus, light of the world. And we're going to be thinking about that through the sermon in a bit. And there's a song that we're going to sing now. It's a new song for us, and it speaks of Jesus and who he is. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High, your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. And then the choruses speak of what a beautiful name it is, what a wonderful name, and what a powerful name. So this song just seemed to be so right for this morning. So I'm just going to sing the verse for, with you, and then maybe we'll sing that together, and then we'll do the chorus. And it doesn't really change much beyond that, so it should be familiar. So let me just sing you verse one.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High.
It's the same tune.
Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ.
Shall we sing verse one together? You were the Word.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High.
Same tune.
Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you.
Oh, this is the chorus.
What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. Jesus Christ, my King.
Same tune.
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
That's good. Just singing back to me. So I think we're ready. Shall we stand and sing this together?
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name it is, the name of
going to read to you a few verses from Colossians, which, encapsulates all of those things. So Jesus, the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn, first among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And Jesus, we have come to recognize you in our lives as beautiful, as wonderful, and as powerful. Thank you, Jesus, that death couldn't hold you, that you rose, that you conquered the grave. Thank you for who you are in history, in this church, and in our lives. We turn again today asking for you to be and remain number one. Amen. Let's sing then a prayer, I guess. Jesus be the center. Feel free to sit if you'd like, or stand, whatever you feel comfortable with. Jesus be the center.
Thanks so much, Philippa and Ben. We're now going to hear from God's word. Quite a long reading, but this account of Jesus healing the blind man is beautifully told and told at length by John. It seems right to hear the whole story. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. So the reading is from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 9, the whole of chapter 9. And I'm reading from the today's English version, the one that you'll find in the chairs. Jesus heals a man born blind. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Teacher, Whose sin caused him to be blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin? Jesus answered, His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him. As long as it is day, we must keep on doing the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light for the world. After he said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made some mud with the spittle. He rubbed the mud on the man's eyes and said, Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam. This name means sent. So the man went and washed his face and came back seeing. His neighbours then, and the people who had seen him begging before this, asked, Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, He is the one. But others said, No, he isn't. He just looks like him. So the man himself said, I am the man. How is it you can now see? They asked him. He answered, The man called Jesus made some mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash my face. So I went, and as soon as I washed, I could see. Where is he? They asked. I don't know, he answered. Then they took to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. The day that Jesus made the mud and cured him of his blindness was a Sabbath. The Pharisees then asked the man again how he had received his sight. He told them, He put some mud on my eyes, I washed my face, and now I can see. Some of the Pharisees said, The man who did this cannot be from God, for he does not obey the Sabbath law. Others, however, said, How could a man who is a sinner perform such miracles as these? And there was division amongst them. So the Pharisees asked the man once more, You say he cured you of your blindness. Well, what do you say about him? He's a prophet, the man answered. The Jewish authorities, however, were not willing to believe he had been blind and could now see until they called his parents and asked them, Is this your son? You say that he was born blind. How is it then he can now see? His parents answered, We know he is our son. We know that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he's now able to see. Nor do we know who cured him of his blindness. Ask him. He's old enough, and he can answer for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities who had already agreed that anyone who said he believed that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That is why his parents said, He is old enough. Ask him. A second time they called back the man who had been born blind and said to him, Promise before God that you will tell the truth. We know that this man who cured you is a sinner. I do not know if he is a sinner or not, the man replied. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. What did he do to you? They asked. How did he cure you of your blindness? I've already told you, he answered, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you too would like to be his disciples. They cursed him and said, You are that fellow's disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for that fellow, however, we do not even know where he comes from. The man answered, What a strange thing that is. You do not know where he comes from, but he cured me of my blindness. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to people who respect him and do what he wants them to do. Since the beginning of the world, nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a person born blind. Unless this man came from God, he would not be able to do a thing. They answered, You were born and brought up in sin, and you are trying to teach us. And they expelled him from the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Tell me who he is, sir, so that I can believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have already seen him. He is the one who is talking with you now." "I believe, Lord," the man said, and knelt down before Jesus. Jesus said, "I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see and those who see should become blind." Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked him, "Surely you don't mean that we are blind too?" And Jesus answered, "If you were blind, then you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you can see, this means that you are still guilty."
Thank you very much, Paul. Amazing reading. Before I come to say some things about it, can I just say some other things? First of all, for my first opportunity to say thank you. You can imagine how the appalling death of PC Andrew Harper, has shot through us, married the same time as Bethany and Duncan here. But we would want to say thank you so much to you as a fellowship for all the support you gave to us for Bethany and Duncan's wedding 4 weeks ago. We're really, really grateful. Lots of you are involved in different ways, and we're very, very grateful for the support you gave. It was a wonderful day, really happy day, and we're so grateful to you. Thank you also for the way in which many of you follow my life. My ministry takes me normally to other places than this church, and at the moment I'm the moderator of Eastleigh Baptist Church, large church near Southampton, and also of Waterlooville Baptist Church, and that's sort of north of Portsmouth. So that's part of my life. Continue to work with Premier Radio, Premier Media. This is a copy of their July magazine. You're very welcome to take a copy. Would cost you £5.95 in any other circumstances, but if you get there quick enough, you can have one for free. And thank you. Just thank you for all the support you give. Many of you do receive my prayer diary. If you don't and would like to, just give me your email address and you will be in receipt of it like everybody else. One of the things I've been doing over the last few years, as you will know, has been involved with various disability charities, and one of them has been Torch Trust for the Blind. I've loved my connection with Torch. Many of you will know that we have Zephyr as a member of our family, who is a Labrador, yellow Labrador, and it's great to go to Torch meetings because it's like going to a Labrador convention. There are so many Labradors, and anybody who's ever met one Labrador will know the spirit of all the rest. They're equally stupid and consistently hungry. They're just Labradors, that's what they do. But to have Labradors sitting on top of me throughout those meetings is always fun. It has given me a lot of opportunity to reflect in a way that I've not reflected before on sight loss. And it's brilliant to see the work that Torch is doing. There's a copy of their newsletter outside if you would like to see that. I was particularly introduced to the world of blindness through my friend Glenn, who's a Baptist minister, and who I helped to support when I was in the Southwest looking after the churches down there, and he was one of our ministers in Devon. And people were often very nervous, actually, about having a blind minister, and I had to cope with this with churches. And I would always say of Glenn, the only difference between Glenn and other ministers is that he's a great deal more able. I can't think of any disadvantage he has. He preaches very powerfully. If he wants to make a visit, he either has the dog or gets a taxi. And He prays magnificently. He leads meetings very effectively because he's a very bright man, and all of that. And all of those things are true. But of course, it is a very different world for a blind person. I remember those times of taking Glenn home after a meeting, and it'd be dark, and I put the lights on as we went into the house and took him in. And I had to remember, of course, to turn off all the lights as I left. They were no good to him, didn't do anything for him. And it's just another world. But Glenn would say, and the other people have been born blind, most people with sight loss or who are blind didn't lose it at birth. That's just a matter of fact. But Glenn did lose it at birth. And other people like him, who tend to call themselves lifers, they would say, and Glenn would certainly want to say to you, the greater problem, much greater problem than physical blindness, is spiritual blindness. That's the blindness that really matters. And that, in a sense, is what lies behind the story we've heard this morning. Wonderful to hear of the healing of this blind man. But the really serious situation was the blindness of the Pharisees. That was the real awful fact which Jesus is trying to confront. And so in our reading, we are confronting the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. He's the true source of light. Light is what matters most. You read the Gospel of John, read the letters of John, 1, 2, and 3 John, and you'll find there are three themes which play together beautifully, interwoven with one another. It's the theme of light, life, and love. And wherever you look in those writings, you will find those themes being identified in different ways. God loved the world so much, because he is love, we read in the letters. He loved the world so much that he sent Jesus into the world, Jesus being the light of the world, so that all men should have life, life in all its fullness. Light, life, and love, the three interwoven themes. And here in this passage, Jesus declares, as he's declared before, I am the light of the world. What I want you to believe is we're not just talking about some sort of up in the clouds spiritual reality. We're talking about life. That real light and understanding and insight about the whole of life comes from Jesus. He's at the heart of understanding what this life is all about. So if we're looking at relationships, relationships within our families, relationships at work, relationship with our neighbor, we need the light. We need Jesus. Or if we're talking about our money and resources, as we were talking earlier, if we're to understand how to use those things in a way that's full of life, in a way that's most loving, we need the light of Jesus. If we think about how we're going to spend our time, conversation I always seem to be having with people. How do we spend our time? Maybe a conversation about careers, how we spend the big block of time, but how we spend our other time, and in retirement, other shapes of life. How do we spend our time? We won't know the answer without the light. Jesus is the light. So light starts with Jesus. But the reading emphasizes for us in a very powerful point that that light doesn't come automatically, and it doesn't come from just doing religious things. Always need to be careful when we see references to the Pharisees, because we tend immediately to go boo, hiss, because we know they didn't like Jesus and we think Jesus is great. So we tend to be negative about the Pharisees. The reality, of course, is they were the most devout Jews that you can find in Jerusalem. They were the ones who really took their faith seriously. General Jews probably were not that interested in what was happening in the temple. They were just getting on with life and work, whatever they happened to do. The Pharisees took God very, very seriously. And in their seriousness, they made sure they were at a prayer. They were fastidious about the way in which they brought their sacrifices and offerings to God. They were in many ways incredibly impressive. And in this reading, what we're learning is, in fact, they couldn't see. So when this man born blind, gets his sight back, the only thing that they can see is that Jesus might have violated a Sabbath law. In fact, he probably violated three Sabbath laws. Isn't that bad, they thought. But, of course, they missed the point. They missed the wonder of the miracle of Jesus bringing his light and life to this needy man. It's something I need to say here, isn't it? It's perfectly possible to be part of the life of a church, perfectly possible to be part of the rhythm of the life of a church, to be active in its meetings and all the rest of it, and not to have met the light of Jesus. Perfectly possible, and it happens all the time, where people are just part of the, what we might call, religion of church, part of the machinery of church, part of it, they're fellow travellers, but have never personally opened their life to the light of Jesus. I just need to say to you today, everything starts with receiving the light of Jesus. I don't know all of you. I do commend this booklet, which I use wherever I go, by the hundred, in truth, because it's just a great introduction to Christianity, and just a simple introduction, maybe useful for you, maybe useful for a friend. I always recommend that somebody, whoever you are, that you have one of these close to you so that you can give it to a friend. The other day, I got another box of 200, because I buy them by the 200 from the bookshop, Shoemakers, and was walking up Cheap Street with it, and my mate Gary, who runs the antique shop over the road, he said, "What have you got in that box?" And I said, I've got booklets that introduce Christianity. He said, "Oh, that sounds really interesting." So I cracked into this box, got one out for him, and he's been reading. He's read it twice since. Pray for Gary. But we need to be clear. Jesus is the source of light for every part of our lives. There's always the danger, isn't there, of us separating life into the secular and the sacred. You know, the church bit and then normal life we get on with. No, no, no. Jesus wants to shine his light into every part of your life. So Jesus meets this man. What interests me is about the way in which his relationship with Jesus changes as you go through the chapter. So at first, he has this experience, as we read, of Jesus spitting on the ground, putting this paste onto his eyelids, goes off to get washed. And people then are curious to know who did this. And he says it was the man, Jesus. The man, Jesus. So he knew who it was, but he clearly doesn't know much about it. When he's pressed by the Pharisees, and they're clearly concerned about the Sabbath issue, he says to them, "He is a prophet." So you can almost see a sort of development of his thinking about Jesus. And then he meets Jesus again, and Jesus says to him that he is the Son of Man. And Jesus says, "You have now seen him." When he says he doesn't know who the Son of Man is, "You've now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." The man says, "Lord, I believe," and he worships Jesus. You see the progression in his understanding of Jesus. And what I want you to know is when you find the light of Jesus, many of you have, I know, but when you find the light of Jesus, it doesn't come all in one go. It is a journey in the light. We learn more about the light as we travel. Look at Saul, who became Paul. We know all about his conversion, fantastic. Road to Damascus, bright light, loses his sight, interestingly, for a few days, then has his sight restored. In that conversion, Paul doesn't understand all about Jesus. He doesn't understand the whole story. He then goes on a journey. He then learns more about who Jesus is. And so for us, we're called not just to have one day in our lives when we're converted and we become a Christian, but to walk in the light, to learn more and more about what the light of Jesus means for us. We continue to be sinners. We continue to do things wrong. But as we continue on the journey, we discover the forgiveness and light of Jesus. In 1 John 1, John is very blunt. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, no truth in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. That's on the journey as we travel with Jesus, so we learn more of him. So Jesus is the source of light, and we're called to walk in the light. Just a final comment. We're not just called to be walking in the light, but we're called to be talking about the light. I love the testimony. This is a fascinating passage. I love John's gospel because the way in which he constructs the gospel is so careful. You know that everything is significant. Everything matters. And these very sort of blunt exchanges, sort of the neighbors are asked, you know, is this the man who used to be blind? And they're saying, well, I don't know, but he looks like him. Do you know, it's terribly human sort of descriptions. And then they ask for the parents to come forward. You know, is this your son? What's happened to him? And they say, well, ask him. He's of age. Given the carefulness of John's writing, everything is significant. But I love the directness of it, for the way in which he says, when being pressed by the Pharisees, whether it's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. He said, these are the facts. Can't help you with the theology, but I can help you with the fact that I used to be blind, but now it's completely different. Jesus has come into my life. And I want to just remind you that our day-by-day calling is to share our journey, to talk about the light, to point people to the light. In a society that knows little of the light of Christ, our calling is to share the light of Jesus. I wonder how you will do it. I do hope that all of you will get to read Richard's amazing little booklet, Postcards from the Land of Grief. Even if you're not normally a reader, I do commend this to you, because for me it just talks about what it's like to talk about the light. Talk about the light that we experience in the toughest moments of life. We've walked very closely with Richard through these last few years. There are still loads of things here, testimonies, which I knew nothing of. I do commend it to you if you've not already read it. I know he's coy about talking to you about it. I am not coy. Read it. It's something that will bless you. But let's talk about what Jesus has done for us. So that's the word that God has for us today. Jesus is the light, not just for our church life, the light for every part of our lives. And today, God invites us to open our lives afresh to his light, to walk in the light, and to talk about the light to his glory. Amen. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus into the world to be the light of the world. Thank you for offering to come into our lives so that we may receive that light, drenching us, filling us, illuminating every part of our lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are light for us this day. With all that we're facing in this particular moment, you want to shine your light. Lord, we receive your light in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing a final hymn, Amazing Grace, as it's all grace, it's all gift. God has given us the amazing grace of himself. Let's stand to sing together.
Father, we thank you
for the amazing grace that you've shown to us. Thank you that you've poured one gift after another into our lives. So we commit one another into your hands now, and we pray that you will bless us in all that we do in the rest of this day, that we may know your grace continually, your love for us, that our lives may be full of your light. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us today and always. Amen.